Be seated. They're pointing at me to turn this mic on. All right, let's get her on. Are we there? Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs. And chapter number 19 is where we're at. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 19. How many of you had a good week this week? Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. The Lord is good. And we've always got plenty to be thankful for if we will choose to be thankful. Amen. Circumstances should never determine our thankfulness. Amen. You said they do. Well, we shouldn't let it. Amen. Because God is good all the time. Amen. And so praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. And God's good. All right, let's look at Proverbs chapter number 19. We're going to begin here with verse number 15. As we're just walking through the book of Proverbs and seeing what God has put in his word and pulling up these truths. And sometimes these truths are like a pancake. And sometimes you have to flip it to see what the truth is really teaching us. And so we're going to look at that today in Proverbs chapter 19. Let's begin this morning with verse number 14 of this passage. Proverbs 19 and verse 14. The Bible says here, house and riches are inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Let's stop right there and pray this morning. Lord, we ask your blessings and your help as we open the Bible this morning. And God, we just need you to come and meet with us in a great way this morning in church, in this Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you provided this week. Lord, and just meet each one of our spiritual needs, Lord, as we open the Bible. Give us a greater heart and a greater desire and a greater hunger to know thy word, I pray. Bless us as we open it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's begin here today. Again, now, we're looking at wisdom, and wisdom is a choice, isn't it? Wisdom is a choice. Wisdom is not something that God is going to force upon every Christian. Wisdom is something that every Christian should desire to have from the Lord. And, you know, and who does God give wisdom? Does he withhold it on purpose? He doesn't want to withhold wisdom from us. But does everyone have wisdom? No, because if everyone had wisdom, there'd be no such thing as a fool. And we know there's plenty of them, right? There's plenty of them. So God's teaching us here that wisdom is something that we should hunger. Now, wisdom is not from this world. Wisdom doesn't come from this world. That's like saying my watch, this watch here, is the source of time. It's not the source of time. It just shows the source of time. Right? If you smash this watch, which I hope you don't, but if you smash this watch, you are not going to get time anymore. right? At least on this instrument. But will time continue? Yeah. And so wisdom comes from God. It's not in this world. We don't find wisdom in this world. Unless you find it in wise people. Or in the Word of God. Which is God teaching us His way and His wisdom from above. So God is teaching us here these principles of wisdom. Now let's look at one, verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now I have this written down. Some things are given to us by men, and some things are given by God. Some things are given to us by men, some things are given to us by God. He's talking about house and riches are inheritance of fathers. Those are things that maybe a man can give us, that can maybe be passed down. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. Amen? And can I say, though, that I think the passage, it always ties two thoughts together with that colon or the semicolon. It ties these two thoughts together in that a prudent wife also helps keep the blessings that man gives on this life also. Let me tell you something. Man, we should be thankful. If we have a wife that loves the Lord and loves the Lord, a prudent wife, we ought to be thankful for her. Amen. Really. Because that is a gift from God. A prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Amen? And by the way, every woman ought to strive to be that for her husband and her family. That prudent wife. And it's talking about a godly wife, a faithful wife, a wife who's always ready to give, to serve, to love. She doesn't fit the Bible characteristics of a foolish woman. She wants to be a godly woman. It's her heart. And, you know, there are just some things that God gives. Why does God give us? Why is God good enough? Let me put it this way. Why does God desire to give us things? He loves us. True. What else? Say it. He created us. He loves His creation. When you're saved, the relationship changes from a servant to a son, right? So really, we're adopted into His family. And doesn't that mean more than a servant? Yeah. So God often gives blessings and blesses the saved more than even the unsaved, because we're positionally in His relationship. We're not any better than anybody, but that's the relationship that God has. What about God's nature? Isn't it just God's nature to be giving? For God so loved the world that He gave. You look at the first 7 days of creation, and you see these 7 days of creation, all that God gave us on this earth. Every resource that we have comes from this earth. And I often laugh at people that say, I'm a self-made man. There's no such thing. You say, well, I did it with my own two hands. Who gave you those two hands? Who gave you that mind to think, to do that with your hands? These are things that the Lord gives us. And you know what? It's so easy. We take them for granted, don't we? You know, I'll never forget, a couple years ago, I got that phone call that Brother Smith was involved in a table saw accident. And he was running a board through a table saw. Whoo! Knocked off all five of his fingers on the table saw. My heart broke for him. And you know what I got to thinking? I got to thinking, thank you, God, for my fingers. Amen. You know, God gave me stubby fingers. Look at those short fingers. I got my mom's fingers. I could never play basketball very well because I could never hold on to it. I couldn't grip the thing because them stubby fingers. But at least I have fingers. Amen. Table saw don't get my fingers. And the shorter they are, the better chance I have of avoiding them in a table saw accident. Amen. There's something good to be thankful for in everything you see in life. Amen. And so God's teaching us, you know, there are just some things that God loves to give because it's his nature. He has a nature to be giving. And that's the goodness of our God. By the way, you compare the God of the Bible with all the other gods, and you know what you'll see? You'll see the other gods of this world are takers. Muhammad was a taker. He takes lives, takes people. You know, Christianity, somebody's put Christianity this way in comparison to all other world religions. Christianity is the only religion where the leader gave his life for the follower. Amen? And it is the nature of God to be giving. There are things that God will give you that you and I do not even deserve. Now, where does wisdom enter into this? Wisdom recognizes this. Wisdom says, see, it's the self-made man that's a fool because he thinks it's all him that did it. But wisdom enters in where we say and understand, it's God that has done a lot for me. I owe him everything. I should give God my all because he gave it all for me. I mean, imagine even going to the cross. And as he hung on the cross, they spat upon him and beat him. You know, why should he have to take that? He did it for us. He did it for the great love wherewith he loved us so we would not have to spend eternity in hell. And wisdom says, I'm going to live my life aware of that every day. I'm going to live with that awareness in my mind. You know, one problem in our world today is so many people just forget about God. Forget about God. They're busy in their life. They're wrapped up. Boy, what a shock one day when they wake up and open up their eyes. Either in heaven or hell. We're probably going to end up in hell forever if they do not trust Christ. You know what? Hey, this world fools themselves into thinking they're good and they're okay. I got news for you. They're blinded. They need to come to Christ and receive him. That's the only way to heaven. And if the devil can get people blinded to these truths, wisdom opens our eyes to the gifts and the goodness of God and what God has done for us. You think of this earth and the life cycle. You know, you think of the cycle on earth that gives us water and food and health and strength. All these things come from God. God is the resource. So wisdom says, I received it from the Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, my wife, she's not here today. She's at the Catholic Church. No, I'm kidding. She's not. She's not, okay? She's sick today. But I'll tell you what, she does more for me than I deserve. She does. And, you know, we need to be thankful of these gifts that God gives us from the Lord because it is of the gracious heart of God that he does these things. We don't deserve heaven, but if you're saved, we get it anyhow. Amen. So, and by the way, for all young men, wisdom is, instructs us how to find a prudent wife. Amen? Every man needs a prudent wife. Amen? Every man needs that. And I'll add this to it. Every wife needs a prudent husband. Amen? That goes hand in hand with the gifts of God. And very important things. All right, let's move on. Verse 15. There's something here I want you to understand and see that I saw in this verse. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. What's it talking about? Now, I want you to know, okay, it's talking about slothfulness or laziness, right? Here's this guy who's lazy. It casts him into a deep sleep. But now notice something. An idle soul. It's not talking about an idle person or an idle body. It said an idle soul. The soul is the part of us that lives forever. Okay? Now, the word soul here means breath or it means life. Your soul is your life because you're going to live somewhere forever. Right? Either here on earth or in heaven. You're going to live somewhere forever. Your soul is your life. So what it's talking about here is a person can enter into a spiritual slumber. And when they enter into a spiritual slumber, that idleness, that spiritual idleness takes the life right out and leaves a soul hungry. And the idleness then plunges a person into a state of unconsciousness of his need, both physically and spiritually. He's to the place where he doesn't care. He's totally unconscious of God. He's totally unconscious of his need. He suffers hunger, okay? Here's this guy who physically says, I'm not going to go to work. I'm not going to do anything. Well, that may be okay today. He may get by today. But after 3 or 4 weeks, you know, things start getting a little hungry, you know. And all of a sudden, he says, you know what? I'm getting hungry. I want some food. And it's crept up on him, hasn't it? He was in this state of unconsciousness about his need or his upcoming need. And that is exactly what describes the spiritual today. They are in an unconscious state where they do not understand or care. We meet people like that all the time. And there are people, you approach them about Christ and their need to be saved. And some people really just don't even care because they're in the state. Their soul is in this state where they don't care about God. It's like they're asleep. And, you know, sometimes, by the way, that's why I like those old foot-stomping leather lung preachers. They have a way of waking people up to a spiritual need. Amen? You know, I've given the gospel to people before, and you know what? It's made them mad. It's the same response as when you wake them up out of the middle of the sleep, right? They don't like it. They don't like it. And I've had people get mad at me and slam the door. I'm just trying to help them come to Christ. I want them to know, but they're in a state of, their soul's in a state of spiritual unconsciousness, like this verse says. And until they get hungry, they're not going to seek the food of the Lord. Amen. You know, I think we ought to pray for people like this in this respect. God sends something into their life that wakes them up. Amen. You say, that's not a very nice, it's a very nice prayer. Because if it wakes them up spiritually, it can give them the spiritual life again that God wants them to have. And by the way, when somebody gets mad at you, just don't worry about it. Don't get upset. Just, hey, No big deal. You can't change somebody. Only God can change the heart. But God expects us to stay out there and stay at it. Try to keep talking to him about the Lord. Idleness. By the way, this even happens to Christians. We spiritually are not exercising our faith, and we're spiritually become dull. Sermons that should hit our heart, we allow to brush over the top of our head. And we miss the truth that brings life to our soul. And therein is wisdom. Therein is wisdom. You know, doesn't the Bible say that even a child can know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation? The Word of God brings, when a person realizes they're unsaved, that's a good place for them to be, because that enables them to want to be saved. Because salvation can't be manufactured. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And by the way, the Word of God is what can get them to that place where they're ready. Amen. So, by the way, always as a Christian, we got to keep that tender heart and not allow the devil to give us a coated heart, a hardened shell. And yeah, I know the world does that. The world hardens us, and the world is hard, but we're not of the world. We're of Christ. And because of that, we've got to keep tender heart to God and an open heart to God, not allow ourselves to drift into an unconscious state spiritually. Amen? And that ought to be a fear of us. That ought to make us Christians fear. I don't want to ever be in that place. I always want to stay spiritually alert to whatever God has. So, again, and I wrote this down about this verse. You might put it down, is that idleness has a spiritual effect, not just a physical effect. It has a spiritual effect. Verse 15. All right, let's move on. Verse 16. All right, look at verse 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. I wrote this down. God's commands are for our good. God's commands are for our good. Have you ever been reading the Bible and God gave you a command and that was hard to follow? And you know what we think? That's not for my good, right? But it is for our good, isn't it? It is God's way of showing us and directing us what really is good. Because our human natures do not always gravitate to what is good. We gravitate to what satisfies us, or what we think satisfies us, right? And so, God teaches us the wisdom of clinging to the commands, knowing that they are best for us. Now, let me explain something a preacher explained to me years ago. If there is something in the Bible that says this is good or this is better, then we ought to follow it. But if there's something in the Bible that is a command to us, we ought to hold that in priority because it's a command. In other words, if God says thou shalt or thou shalt not, then that command we should hold in a spiritual strength in our heart and our mind, understanding that that command is good for us. And the command should be higher than even just the suggestions or the things that are good for us. Because the commands ultimately of what God's word is are the best for us. God's commands. Okay, so wisdom teaches us this. If the soul means breath or life, then also in this verse we find the same word for the soul. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. That's the part of us that lives and breathes. That's the eternal part of all of us. And so when this soul is alive, it's because the commands have awakened it to life. You know, a command is something that God gives us that if we are wise and we follow it, we will have life in our soul. That's the teaching. That's the principle. And we have to follow many of the commands by faith, don't we? It takes faith to follow the command. And we follow the command, then we see the blessings that God gives. And we see the good things that God does through the obedience of the commands. And this is what brings life to us. This is the life of the Christian. We ought to thrill to follow those commands. You know, they're not always easy, but as we grow in the Lord, we should learn that this, hey, I'm going to start taking on this command. I'm going to start following this command and incorporate these commands more and more into our life, everyday life. The Bible says this, so I'm going to do it. The Bible says don't do this, so I'm going to leave that out of my life. And God doesn't ask us to understand everything. He asks us to obey him. And oftentimes, after we obey, then we understand. That's a scriptural principle, too. We looked at that one already. Obey first, and then we understand. It's not, I got to understand, and then I'll do it. It's not always that way. And so, here we see this principle. Wisdom says, all right, Lord, I yield to your command. I'm going to take your command at your word. And what does God say? That is good for me. God blesses that. Amen? Because in the eyes of God, what we're doing is we are honoring his word over our own selves or our own feeling. And that honors God. God is blessed by that. And so he turns around, and the nature of a giving God returns to us. I've been so blessed in my life. I mean, God's been so good to me. I've had 3 cars given to me in my life. Well, 1 car wasn't given to me. I had to pay $1 for it. But it was a Ford, and it wasn't worth that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But, no. I look back, and I thank the Lord. Just all the times God's been good. And I believe oftentimes it's because of obeying those commands of God. Saying, God, I'm faithful to that command. Even when I can't see my way through the command, or this old flesh doesn't want to follow it, if I'll say, yes, Lord, then God will bless that. And that's a promise of God, isn't it? Amen. All right, let's go on. Verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. What a powerful verse. I've quoted this verse many times. And God teaches us here, I wrote this down, giving to someone in true need is actually giving to the Lord. You know, we are supposed to give as unto the Lord. So we're not supposed to just give and be a blessing to others by just being a blessing to them. We're supposed to give as unto the Lord. In other words, we're giving God the glory out of the heart that he's given us to give to others. We're giving as unto the Lord. Now, this is a powerful promise. And what God teaches us is when we give to someone in need, God returns to the giver. Giving is God's way of supplying the need of both the receiver and the giver. It's amazing how it works. You have something to give, God touches your heart, you'd be a blessing to someone else. The Bible verse says God repays the person who gave. Now both have their need met. It's a powerful, powerful verse. It's an amazing verse. There are times, and the old preachers used to preach this, and it's so true. You can go to God and say, God, remember that time I did this for somebody? Lord, now I'm in need. Will you bless me? I believe God hears those prayers. Because there's times when God says to come boldly to the throne of grace. Giving. Now, let me say this. Giving and tithing are two different things. Tithing is a command of the Lord because the Bible teaches us the tithe is the Lord's. That belongs to God. You say, why would God give us his tithe? Because he tests our stewardship. He wants us to see if we're going to be faithful stewards of his. And so he gives us even his tithe, and we return to him his tithe. But giving is God's way of giving to us so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, there's some scriptural principles of giving that we want to look at here about this verse. Number one, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, God expects us to give. God expects us to give. Hey, listen. God doesn't, we shouldn't be the old stingy gut, right? And God doesn't tell you you have to give a whole lot or a whole less. God leaves that amount up to you in what he touches your heart. Again, we're not talking about tithing. We're talking about giving, okay? And you know, there have been times when I said, you know what? God just touched my heart to give somebody something or to do something for somebody. And there have been times when God has touched people's heart to do something for me. And I believe God always, listen, you won't owe God anything. Nobody is going to owe God anything. You know, what you do for others, God's going to see to it that you get it back. And God will return what you give. That is a promise of God. You say, I don't believe it. That's good. You haven't tried it. Right? Because if you've tried it, you'll know it's going to work. Amen. Now, by the way, we don't give with the motive of receiving back. That's not our motive. But God is faithful to return it anyhow. Because we've chosen to follow his word and give. And God does these things. So God does expect us to give. Number two, don't give for man's praise or admiration. Don't give for men's praise. Oh, look how much they gave, or look how much they did, or oh, that person doesn't give anything. Hey, listen, that should not be in our equation. We should not give for men's admiration or even the lack of admiration. According to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Number 3, giving is seen by our God. God sees our giving. God knows what we give, and that's all that matters. Amen. It doesn't matter if somebody else sees it, and we shouldn't give it so that other people see it. We should give it to God with the heart that just trusts God to do what he said for us to do. Number 4, giving is part of our worship to God. Giving is part of our worship to God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2. Number 5, giving and tithing are two different things. Now, I've talked about that already. Giving and tithing are two different things. Somebody asked me at one time, what is the tithe? You know, Jesus upheld the tithe. Jesus upheld the tithe. And the tithe is 10%. That's the first fruits in the Bible. That's the first 10% of our income that God gives us. First, and God calls it your increase, the first 10% of your increase. That's God's. That is the Lord's. Hey, listen, you can live better on 90% than you can on 100%. You say, I don't believe it. That's because you haven't done it. Right? It can happen. And like one preacher used to say, he said, I dare you to try it. Amen. And God is teaching us this principle, giving, because it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more joyful to give than to receive. I'd rather see all my family get the presents. I don't need anything. Amen. I bought myself a Denver Bronco tie at the thrift store. And I'm hoping they win today, because if they do, they may be in the playoffs. But I doubt it. Amen. No, that's the year they're going. But that's all I need. That's fine. I don't need anything. And I'm happy as a clam that way. But I want to see others through me. I want to be a sieve, because I look at what God's done for me. Crazy, incredible, good. You know? And I want others to see that same blessings that God can bless them with in life. God wants to. God's no respecter of persons. He can bless anybody who follows these principles. And so it's more blessed to give than to receive. Number six, giving is a pattern that was given to us by the Lord Jesus. Because God gave, we also want to walk in His image and His light. And that is a pattern at which we follow. Number seven, we receive back from God in proportion to what we give. Did you know that? You receive back in the proportion by what you give out. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Go over there for a minute. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice verse number 6. The Bible says here, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Notice, you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. You give bountifully, you reap bountifully. What a promise. Amen. Now, somebody asked me one time, said, well, preacher, where do you start giving? What's the best place to give? I'll tell you what I believe is the best place, the place of giving. Best place, I believe, is in a missions program in a church. Amen. I believe that's the best thing. Now, I don't want to undermine doing things for other people in need either. But I'll tell you this. When you support a missionary, they're on the foreign field, you're going to see many souls in eternity come to Christ through that decision to give in that way. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see people in heaven that you've never even known in your life, because you gave that missionary that they could go to that foreign field and tell people about Christ. And when you're in heaven, long after you're gone, people will be coming into heaven because of that. And imagine the people that they lead to the Lord in their life that follow after them. And this thing just keeps going and going and going and going unto throughout all eternity until that trumpet sounds. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff right there. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I want to put mine in a bank account. Go ahead. Government will take it anyhow. You can put it in the bank account, but when you die, where's it going to go? can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. It's like that Hollywood movie star that wanted to be buried in his Rolls Royce. They dug a big grave, put his Rolls Royce in there, and set him up in his Rolls Royce, his dead body, and they buried it. Guess what? It's still there. He couldn't take it with him, could he? But you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead. Number eight. There are hindrances to giving. What are some of the hindrances that we have to giving like God would have us to give? Well, materialism's a big hindrance to giving today. It's not wrong to have the things that God wants you to have, but to be so caught up that's what I want, that's what I'm going to go after, materialism becomes a god and a hindrance to giving. Lack of faith, unwise spending in our life inhibits us from being able to give. Number nine, we should give cheerfully. According to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, give happy. Like one preacher said, he said, did your giving make you happy? And he said, no. And the preacher said, well, you didn't give enough then. Giving should be cheerful. We should love and enjoy giving. Why? Because God gave us something to give. Amen? And it's not just talking about money. It's also talking about of ourselves, of our time, of our talents, of our abilities. We give them back to God because God has given them to us. And so giving should make us cheerful because it also allows us to be a blessing and help another's needs. It is more blessed to give than receive. And you know, giving is investing. Giving is investing. You know, when you give to missions, you're not just giving. You're investing. You're investing. And it's a wise investment because it has eternal dividends. It lasts forever. It doesn't end, giving. You say, you know, Bible teaches faith, promise, giving when it comes to missions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, we see that this church here, the churches of Macedonia, they gave by what they had to their power and beyond their power. In other words, they gave out of what they had, but then they also gave by faith. And that giving by faith recognized that God was the one who did it. I believe a Christian can give by faith, and we should have faith involved in our giving when we give. Why? Because the Lord blesses that. It's a promise in his commands. And God will bless it in our lives. Well, lastly, giving is first giving ourselves to the Lord. You know, before we can ever do anything, we have to give ourselves to the Lord. Giving to God is about giving me to God. Well, that's a hurdle that a lot of people have. If they could first give themselves to God, everything else would fall in line. And a lot of times that's a hurdle that a lot of people follow. But can I tell you, it's more important to just trust God in his commands by giving and let God bless your life. Amen? I don't think God expects you to give away, you know, all your bill money and all the things of your needs. He gave those to you to meet your needs. But God will supply our needs as we give to him and as we supply our and as we live and give by faith. We'll see God return that into our lives. Oh, I tell you what, I just am amazed all the time at what God does, what God can do just by giving. And you say, I haven't started giving. Start low. Go slow. catch fire, climb higher. That's what one preacher said. So I want to encourage you about these subjects. Well, we'll end here this week. We'll pick up here next week and continue talking about wisdom. Let's pray. Father.